Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is Dr. Mark McClellan, Commissioner of Food and Drugs. And joining us in our conversation is Therese Morin.
A lot of the work FDA does relies on working with partners in government as well as in industry, health, professional, and education institutions. How difficult has it been coordinating these issues, and what steps has FDA taken to ensure cooperation?
Therese, I found it not that difficult because it is so clear what the advantages of collaboration both within government and outside government are for many of our activities. What's very important is to be clear on the goal, and I found very little difficulty in working with other agencies in many of our goals. For example, in one of our recent announcements on health claims on food labels, which we were just talking about, we have worked closely with the Federal Trade Commission, which has a lot of expertise in advertising regulation and in understanding how consumers interpret information that they get on products. We're working closely with the National Institutes of Health on that effort. They have a lot of expertise and are funding more studies on how consumers understand scientific information. That's one set of examples. Another big area of coordination for us involves the development of new medical technologies. As the NIH budget has doubled, the NIH has become more concerned and interested in ways to make the clinical research process more efficient. And that intersects directly with our goal of reducing the time for development and approval of safe and effective medications. So, for example, the director of the National Cancer Institute, Andy von Eschenbach, and I announced in May a new set of collaborations between the FDA and the NCI to speed the development of safe and effective cancer drugs. That includes coordination with us on adverse event reporting. It includes better support for FDA-mandated so-called phase 4 studies that are done after products are approved to give us a better idea about the long-term risks and benefits to confirm that they're exactly as we suspected they would be when the product was approved. Steps like that, I think, are increasingly common across government agencies. And also, following on this same issue of developing new medical technologies more efficiently, we are right now holding a series of public workshops and comment periods on ways in which we can make our approval standards perhaps more efficient and up-to-date in new and emerging areas of technology. For example, in cell and gene therapy, there have been a tremendous amount of research studies conducted, a lot of clinical trials underway, some that have had setbacks, but a lot of potential. As of yet, however, there are no products that have been approved for use in patients on general terms. So we are trying to work with outside experts in product development as well as with the experts in NIH and making sure that we've got the clearest, most efficient regulatory pathway laid out for product developers in these emerging areas.
The FDA also has involved stakeholders and a series of advisory committees. Can you tell us about the involvement of the stakeholders and the work of the advisory committees?
Well, the advisory committees are extremely important in giving outside, independent, up-to-date scientific advice to the agency. We have well over 30 advisory committees, 300-plus members on them, and a number of other external advisors that work with our advisory committees on specific issues, literally in the thousands. So this kind of expert input is extremely important for us. But as you all pointed out before, and as we've discussed already, the things that we do touch the lives of Americans in just about all segments of society. I think something that we do is of interest to everyone in this country. And so we try very hard to have other outreach programs as well beyond our advisory committees to make sure that we're hearing from consumers about what they think we should focus on. We've got special programs for women's health groups, for minority health and the like, to make sure that we aren't failing to address the needs of specific populations appropriately. This kind of external interaction and input is extremely important for us doing our job effectively.
FDA is part of the Department of Health and Human Services, and there's a move to create, I guess it's called One HHS. What does that mean to FDA?
It means that we have some new opportunities to fulfill our public health mission more effectively. Secretary Thompson has been a strong proponent of the One HHS idea because he believes, and I think he's right, that we can do our job more effectively if we're coordinating and leveraging off work in other agencies throughout the whole department. Just to give you a few examples of this, one of the top priorities department-wide now is patient safety. And so there are many things underway at CDC for better monitoring through the public health networks of potential safety problems. Many programs underway at the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality for improving the data and the data systems that we can use to understand patient safety issues. And those are obviously of a lot of interest to us as well at FDA on how we can improve the public health. So there are a lot of opportunities through the One HHS approach for us to do our job more effectively rather than have, for example, one separate system that relies on electronic reporting and surveillance for CDC of events happening in emergency rooms that they need to know about for the occurrence of public health outbreaks. We ought to be interacting with them so that we can get information from the same kinds of systems about problems that might involve drugs or devices that we regulate or problems that may be reflections of a foodborne illness outbreak. Lots of opportunities to work together effectively.
What are the next major challenges on the horizon for the FDA?
We have a huge number of challenges, and you all have touched on many of them already in our discussions. We need to keep improving our food security in this country. Our food supply is safer and more secure than it ever has been, but there are some real threats out there that we need to do more to address. The opportunities for improvements in biomedical technology are great. A lot of people think this may be the biotech century because of all of the potential breakthroughs in genomics and nanotechnology and other technologies that may enable us to cure, at least hold off, serious chronic diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's. But again, we haven't seen those treatments demonstrated to be safe and effective for patients yet, despite all of the promises. And it's getting extremely costly to develop and bring these new technologies to market. And we're facing some real problems in the affordability of healthcare. Those are some critical challenges that FDA can help address. And I'd like to come back to the other element of our other specific key area in our strategic plan, which is consumer information. There is more today known about what consumers can do to improve their health than ever before. But there's so much information out there, some of it from unreliable sources, that I worry about consumers being able to get an accurate assessment of what the latest science has to say, so that when we tell them that there are steps that they can take to improve their health and they go out and want to do it, they end up spending their time and effort and money in the right ways rather than on potentially wasteful products that make misleading claims or potentially wasteful products that they've read about somewhere and it's just not accurate, reliable information. So those are all areas where we're facing new challenges. And as we head into the FDA's second century, I can't think of a better and more interesting place to work to help improve the public health.
So based on all this, what is your vision for the FDA in the next 5 to 10 years?
We are looking forward to playing, I think, an even more role in promoting and protecting the health of the public. We have some new opportunities and new challenges in protecting the public health. Counterfeit drug technology is getting more advanced, for example, and we've touched on a number of other problems. On the side of promoting the public health, on advancing the public health, the opportunities on both the food side of our mission and the medical side of our mission are greater than ever. I have a vision of an FDA that is using the best and most up-to-date science as efficiently as possible to help Americans make effective decisions, to help make sure that the products that they use are safe and effective. And I think there are more new opportunities to do that than ever before. It's a great place to work.
Mark, you have a very interesting background, and you've been drawn to the public service. I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone interested in a career in public service?
Do it. It is a great time to be in public service. We are facing some real and difficult challenges in this country, some unprecedented challenges in terrorism and new science and the like. And there are better tools out there to use to meet these challenges than ever before. But I would like to emphasize that public service doesn't have to be a lifelong decision. Many of our staff have spent some time in industry, some time in the private sector before coming here. I was in academics up until just a couple of years ago. And many people work for a while at the agency and then move on to other kinds of jobs in industry, doing consulting and the like. And a lot of people have said, well, some turnover at FDA isn't that bad. You know, don't you want to retain people for a career? And I certainly would like to keep people who are doing a terrific job in public service as long as possible. But I don't think you need to view this as a lifelong decision. I think there are a lot of interesting ways in which you can spend some time working for an agency like FDA, understanding how the government works, making a real contribution to the public health, doing the right thing, in addition to having a great career in the private sector and other parts of your life as well. It's not an either-or decision. And I would encourage people who are interested in science, who are interested in policy, to think about an agency, spending at least some time at an agency like FDA in the course of their career development.
I'm afraid we're out of time today, Mark. Trezin, I want to thank you for fitting us in your very busy schedule.
Great. I'd like to just make one more plug for the agency. We have a very extensive website that can help you learn more about the many areas where we are engaged in new activities, and also learn more about opportunities for working at the FDA. We're always hiring. It's www.fda.gov.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Mark McClellan, Commissioner of Food and Drugs. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.